You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second half of our program. We're going to head out west, find out what's happening at another media day. Is this one in Las Vegas? And I last saw our next guest yesterday afternoon in Nashville, and I wasn't really thinking clearly as the Pac-12 media days began. And then this morning, I'm on GetUp, and I look into my screen, and there is Heather Dinich in Las Vegas. And I'm like, I immediately quit wondering about myself. And I'm so impressed. Heather, well, I know we have a lot to talk about, but how did you pull that one off? I mean, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning out there. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Lots of coffee, lots of water, maybe a little bit of an energy drink, but I'm here, man. This is what we do.
Man, well, you're still young, so you ought to be able to handle it. Heather, I saw your conversation with George Kliatkoff today. I'm going to sit back because I had so many thoughts as I listened to him talk. Give us the lay of the land first with him in relation to the future, the present and future of that league.
Well, Kliatkoff's message today was that he is not concerned about the Big 12 poaching any of the Pac-12's teams. He talked about how he thinks that all of the presidents and chancellors are committed to the conference. He said that he did not want to release a media deal today because he wanted the focus to be on football. When asked if that meant a media release is done, he said, "You're reading too much into it." But he did say that it would come in the near future. So there was a lot of talk and questions about the narrative that has surrounded this conference about its potential demise. And Kliatkoff said that he's not putting any stock into that because he knows where it came from and he knows the truth because he's been sitting in these meetings with presidents and chancellors. So he's confident that this is going to work out. And I asked him, at what point did this change? Because there was some concern, it seemed like, at some point. And he said in the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's been more opportunities with the media partners who are entering these conversations, and that's been the difference.
Yeah, that's great. I don't know how many people were chortling around the country while they were watching your interview with him. I was one of them. Heather, just in terms of talking to people out there, and I realize there are a lot of players and really great stories with coaches, but does the room that you're in, the people with whom you visit, the people that really know, do they concur with what he said, or are they highly skeptical like me?
Well, most of the people that we've talked to publicly are echoing what he said, right? And that's exactly what you would expect from right here. But the reality is this. Nobody, not even George Kliatkoff, knows right this second if Colorado is going to stick to its word. I've been covering college football long enough, as have you, to know that many times people say things in a meeting, turn around, get on their cell phones, and say something else. So they have to see the money from this TV deal to make an informed decision. But does Colorado have the patience to do that? They remain the biggest flight risk. At the same time, if this comes out sooner than later and all of the presidents and chancellors agree to it, they have pre-negotiated the grant of rights. They have agreed on how the revenue would be distributed. All 10 of those schools, that indicates, at least tangentially, a commitment. Now, they have to put their signatures to the piece of paper, and that's when we'll really know for sure who is as committed as they say they are today in Las Vegas.
talking to Heather in Vegas. Heather, I'm really curious about something, and I know there's some great stories, and I've seen saw Bo Nix on ESPN today, and I'm really so happy that he's got a chance to end his career on a really big note. Caleb Williams, I mean, great players in that league, and they do have some amazing quarterbacks. My question is, having covered all these big, all these media days, with Big Ten, ACC, Big 12, now where you are, you know what we do here. How would you compare and contrast what you've experienced this year and last year, of course, at the SEC and other years with everyone else?
I think last year there was a very different vibe at the Big 12. Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, was in his first year, made news headlines right away when he said, we're open for business. And that started this between the Big 12 and the Pac-12, right? And I asked George Kliavkov about his relationship today with Yormark and if they can continue to work together. And that's, he said, absolutely, we have to. We have bigger fish to fry, was his quote. Bigger picture things in college athletics we all need to work on. But there was a time when the Big 12 was concerned. The spotlight has shifted to concerns because of uncertainty surrounding the Pac-12. And I think there's just been a different vibe. And this week, I was going to say last week, but it was just this week, like yesterday at SEC Media Days, the focus is different. And I think that's because the Tennessee news broke before we got there, because OU and Texas aren't quite there yet. So there was a lot of focus on Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee and Ole Miss. So it was a pretty fairly normal SEC Media Days, but it's a little different here with the Big 12, Pac-12 vibe going on until there's some answers there.
Heather, the SEC only takes 4 days to conduct its media days. How long is this circus that you're currently attending going to last?
A couple more hours, Paul. it's a media day. Let's get this right. It's not Pac-12 Media Days. It's Pac-12 Media Day. It started at 8 a.m. with Kliavkov on the stage, and players and coaches are coming through for the rest of the day. And it's been fun to hear Chip Kelly and Lincoln Riley talk a little bit about their last season in the Pac-12 before they head to the Big Ten, expectations around Caleb Williams and the Heisman. You know, this is a quarterback conference. Always has been, but this year it is truly a group of prolific passers. And Paul, you mentioned Bo Nix, and I gotta tell you this. From SEC Media Days, talking to Auburn players, to here, 6 degrees of separation from Bo Nix, everyone has raved about him. I can't remember which Auburn teammate it was, but one of them said, hey, if our guy doesn't win the Heisman, I hope Bo Nix win the Heisman. People are just raving about that kid.
I want to end with a story you told this morning. We were together with Greeny, and we heard the Lane Kiffin comment that has now gone around the world and about how NIL is a disaster. But you really, it was an eye-opening story. I think it was about this, was it South Carolina, the player with, or maybe it was, who was the player with the glove? I've lost track of. Tell that
Kentucky
story.
Linebacker, Kentucky linebacker J.J. Okay. Weaver. Mm-hmm. Yep, Kentucky linebacker J.J. Weaver has 6 fingers on his right hand. And growing up, it was something that he was self-conscious about, and he's not only developed into a positive for NIL, but he's sharing it with other kids who have similar disabilities. And he had Nike make a glove specifically for his hand, and his organization through NIL is called The Perfect Fit. And one thing that he's been doing this month is buying bicycles, and he's going to give them away to kids who are in his organization. So it's just a great example of how there are players, not just in football, in other sports, who are using NIL the way it was intended to be.
Okay, so Monday it was Nashville, Thursday and Friday Vegas. I'm afraid to ask where you go next.
If I don't go home, my husband might be on the floor, Paul. I'll tell you what, though, this is true. I know by the DoorDash notifications on my cell phone, they're not starving, but I got to go home.
Finally, I asked Heather yesterday, we were doing something on TV, And I mean, we've heard about your kids over the last couple of years with Greenberg, and I was saying, what, your kids must be so proud that their mom is this rising star at ESPN. Share the story that you told me about how they feel about mommy being on ESPN.
Oh, well, yeah. What did I tell you?
Well, you told me that they don't even care. They're just oblivious to it.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. And that's what I was going to say. But you threw me off with the way you phrased it. They do not care at all. I'm just background noise. My home may as well be an airport bar for all it matters on the TV.
It's such a shame. I mean, every kid, I would have loved to have my mom on ESPN. So I'm saying to the Dinich children, appreciate your mom. Heather, get home. We appreciate deeply you coming on. It's been great to see you all week.
Thanks, Paul.
Heather Dinich, live. I don't know how live she feels, but she was live from Las Vegas. And we have left that, and we'll be right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We continue here on a Friday afternoon. Let's get right back to the calls. And Big Al is up next in Mizzou. Hello, Big Al.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Fantastic. Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller in Roll Tide Roll. I just had a question for you about Texas and OU joining the conference and also the QB battle going on in Alabama. I know Jalen Milroe, he's real athletic, real good on his feet, dynamic. But also, Simpson, he's a prolific passer. So I was just wondering your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I heard so many different opinions in Nashville from Tyler Simpson ultimately being the starter to Milroe probably being the starter on week one. I also heard some people talk about specific situational quarterbacks, and I think that would be applicable to Milroe, who is so athletic and so dynamic. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Tyrone is in Pittsburgh. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes. How's it going, Paul?
Tyrone, it's going great. Thank you very much.
That's good. Paul, I'm one of Alabama's biggest fans, but like I tell people, I'm a realist. Okay, I see Alabama losing at least two games this year, maybe three. And a lot of people, you know, they get upset when I say that. But they don't really – I think they really don't understand football, because when you lose 20-some people to the portal, maybe 15 to the draft, that starts to cut into what you got. Then you lose your number one quarterback. your number one defensive player, some of your best linemen, it just don't add up. I mean, last year you lost two games when you had all that. So, you know, I see two losses, maybe three. And usually I'm not wrong on this kind of stuff. My friends never tell you. I picked them to lose two last year, and they lost two. So, I mean, what do you think?
Well, Tyrone, I slightly disagree, but you're right. I think last year there are so many aspects of the season that have been hashed out. But, you know, where would you find the losses? We have the schedule up on our screen for those who aren't in front of a television. These are the games that will matter most. Texas at home, that speaks for itself. Probably at A&M in October. Tennessee at home and LSU at home. And one more, I think, that could be slightly tricky, and that's at Kentucky. So we're talking about Alabama essentially playing a 5-game season, much like they did last year, where there were five games that were very much in doubt. And it's how they manage those games. The three toughest games, I think, are at home.
Yeah, I see it that way. But one other thing a lot of people be missing, you usually see Alabama loaded with All-Americans 3, 4, 5, 6 every year. You look on there now, you see Kool-Aid McKinstry. That's it.
Well, I mean, you have Latham. You have three players that are at the top of the chain. Then McClellan as a running back is somebody they hope that will develop. But I think compared to LSU or even Georgia, you're right. But here's what I think Nick Saban is counting on, and that's some of these young guys that are just there, not playing critically big roles, but fill-in roles in terms of being rotated in. And if those guys can come up fast, and they have to, then it helps Alabama, where they were missing a few things last year. One other thing that I think has to be pointed out about Alabama that could win them a game: they've got the top kicker, and they've got two special teams players that are dynamic. And if I had to argue why I think Alabama can win some of these games, it would be right there.
Okay, yeah, but also, I mean, don't count Lane Kiffin, because Lane Kiffin, his biggest problem is his ego, because they could have gave Alabama some.
I think deep down Lane Kiffin felt like he blew that game, and I can tell you, I think he did. He left the best player on his team on the bench when he needed to bring him in the game. He got way too cute, but that's a trait Lane Kiffin has always had.
Yep. So I mean, I'll check back with you at the end of the year, and we'll see where they be at that point.
Well, well said. Tyrone, none of us know. That's why we're having so much fun speculating. Thank you very, very much. We'll check in with Hayden next in Tennessee. Hello, Hayden.
Hey, what's up, Paul? How you doing?
Hey there. We're doing great.
All right. I was talking to my friend the other day about all this nonsense that I think Nick Saban is facing, because I'm seeing everywhere, Twitter, ESPN, it don't matter where I look, apparently he's facing pressure. And while I don't think it's his conference right now, I mean, Georgia, obviously, they're the top dog, no pun intended, of the conference, but he's Nick Saban. Like, what pressure is there for him? Like, yeah, he might not win the national championship this year, but, like, what's going to happen if he doesn't? Is he going to lose his job? I don't think so. They're going to keep having great recruiting classes. They got, like, a top three quarterback coming in next year. I don't understand, like, people think Nick Saban fell off a cliff because he doesn't win the title every year. Like, I don't get it, Paul. It blows
Hayden,
my mind.
Here's why people say that, because we live in the moment. And I was asked a question the other day about Saban being on the hot seat. And I thought it was possibly the worst question I've ever had. But again, that's the world we live in this relation.
Yeah.
Saban's legacy is intact. It's really where you know, can he stop what some people believe is a very narrow slide? And that's primarily because of Georgia. Now, everyone can argue why it's not a big deal, but that's why this season is very important. No, it's not going to define Nick Saban's career. And I mean, I covered the end of Paul Bryant 40 years ago. He lost three straight games down the stretch, and he was still beloved and forever remembered. That is a red herring, and sometimes it's in the form of the question. But what people are going to fixate on is Kirby Smart, and can he, if he pulls this season off, then in the middle of the greatest dynasty in college football history, somebody else just went out and won three straight. That's what's going on here.
Yeah, I get that. It just blows my mind because I feel like some people are just taking it to extremes where they're like, Nick Saban, he's fell off the cliff. He's not the same. I mean, it really, they're still Alabama.
But let me add one more layer to this. And this is the battle that Saban will have to deal with if he doesn't get back to the playoffs. We can all say, hey, Nick Saban, he'll be there 20 more years. That's not reality. Age does matter in every single profession, other than running for president of the United States. I was with Saban the other day. He looked great. He's healthy, and he has more runway ahead. But when he doesn't win, the age becomes a conversation piece.
Yeah. Well, I had to get it off my chest. I
I'm
hope
glad
my
you
buddy's
did.
Listening. But I appreciate you, Paul. I'll check back in.
Thank
about
you very
it
much.
When,
yeah.
When
I mean, we measure Nick Saban by a different standard. I mean, he is under a massive microscope. And I realize I'm asked those questions, too, when I'm not here and I am elsewhere. But that's just the way it is. I mean, there are a lot of stupid questions in sports. And what you hear here aren't nearly as stupid as some of the other shows that you can find up and down the dial in terms of other sports, professional, and elsewhere. I mean, I think college football is mostly realistic. Most people know what they're talking about, but the questions are going to continue to come. We'll take a break. We have another hour and a half left on a Friday afternoon, a busy week that is signaling the college football season is just around the corner. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And I knew it's been a while since I've been able to converse with this next guy. AC is up on the air.
Mr. Feinbaum, thank you so much for taking my call. Man, you had a busy week, am I correct?
It was a great week. This is not work.
Yeah. No, I mean, you had a long week. And I was going to make a public announcement, but I'm going to save it until Monday.
Okay.
I'm feeling extra generous. I want to give away $100 gift card to one of your callers, but I'm gonna let you know how you can win it. I'm not gonna make your life easy, but I have something special store for everybody Monday. So tune in to Mr. Paul Feinbaum's show, and I'm going to help you to win. But this is how you're going to win. I'll give that gift card to Mr. Feinbaum, and he's going to rely to the caller. But again, the contest is not going to be too easy because I'm going to make it super difficult for everybody. But let me tell you who is not qualified to win the $100 gift card. Jim from Tuscaloosa. Because Jim, when you think you're turning right, AC turns left. Because I have something very, very special for you. Because you said I'm a black mark. That's what you said a week ago. Well, guess what? I'm going to show you who's the real black mark. But Mr. Feinbaum, it's been 2 or 3 weeks. I did not tell you this. I love you, homie. Holla.
I have been missing that recently. Let's talk to James next in Tennessee. Hello, James.
Hello, Paul. Good to be on the air with you.
Thank you.
Before I'm going to ask your opinion on this, and I'm going to listen to it off the air because I don't want to sit here like a lot of your callers and just continue to bloviate over the same stuff. But I do want to make my comments first about Joe Milton. But before I talk about Joe Milton, I want to talk about Hendon Hooker and his place and his legacy in the football history of the University of Tennessee. In my personal opinion, I'm not by any means saying he was a better quarterback than Peyton Manning, but if you watch his footwork, his poise in the pocket, he is calm as a cucumber. And I think he's going to make an excellent, if he gets the opportunity, an excellent NFL quarterback just because of those reasons alone. Now, Joe Milton, I think many people compared him to Anthony Richardson. I think that's a good comparison. But when I watch Joe Milton in the pocket, I don't see the same calmness and the same pocket presence that Hendon Hooker had. And my question to you before I hang up and listen on TV is, do you think that he is going to be able to even come close to putting up the same kind of numbers and keep the interceptions down as Hendon Hooker? I really enjoy your show. Listen to your answer off air. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, Paul.
Thank you, James. I appreciate the question. I think it would be difficult to challenge what Hendon Hooker has done, but I don't think he has to. I did not know Joe Milton until yesterday, and we spent time together. And I know sometimes we over do it, hyperbolize, but meeting him one-on-one off the air was one of the highlights of the week for me. He's such a unique individual, and he doesn't let all the ups and downs affect him. It's part of his journey, but I hope you heard his conversation with us yesterday, especially the more personal things. That doesn't matter when it comes to the field, but it does matter in terms of taking command of the team and being a leader, which Hendon Hooker grew into, and I think that's really the essential part. That is a tough offense to operate. There is a lot to consume, but I think he has vast experience, and I really believe he will be effective this year. Thank you for the call. Thanks so much. Chris is in Arkansas. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
Very
great
well.
To hear from you.
Thank you.
Just have a question for you. Here's my question. What are you thinking on KJ Jefferson, Rocket Sanders this year in Arkansas? Do you think KJ and Rocket's going to go out with a bang this year, or what are you thinking?
I do. Everybody's hashed over what went wrong last year, including Sam Pittman. And I think the opportunity is for them, but they're still in that range where there's so many games they have to turn. And that's been my disappointment with Arkansas, or was my disappointment with Arkansas last year, that they let those games get away. I mean, they should have beaten A&M. Everyone knows that. There are a couple other games they
sure
really let go, and I think they'll turn those games this year. I expect a big year for Arkansas. Certainly eight. I mean, can they get to nine? Challenging, but I think they can certainly have a good year.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks,
but I mean, KJ could be that guy that, and I know what Arkansas folks are saying, and we have commentators that come on here and say he's the best quarterback in the SEC. If he is, then modest expectations, modest predictions for Arkansas are going to be missed because they have a chance for something special when you have two players of that quality in your backfield. Ron is in Virginia. Hey, Ron.
Paul, longtime caller, sir. You already know that. You know, it was cool to see the interview in Nashville on Media Day with Joe Milton, the Tennessee quarterback. What a class act he is, the way he talked about his grandmother and his inspiration with her in religion and everything. I think the guy's a cool dude. I've seen you talk many of coaches and players from Media Day. You talked to Josh Heupel. You know, Josh Heupel is a cool dude. Paul, I know that you're a Tennessee man and everything. The thing is people need to hear this, is, you know, when people down Nick Saban, you, me, whoever, they need to be careful what they're saying. As what I'm saying is like, you know, I'll say his name, Michael Braden. Okay, I'm not going to down him. You said that he has his opinion. But he needs to be careful because Nick Saban has proven himself with seven national championships. What has Michael Braden proved?
Yeah, but Ron, in defense of Braden, I think when you ask the question about today, we don't need, and I get frustrated with this, although I'm guilty of it. I think we have to talk about Nick Saban, about what's happening this year, because regurgitating his record is a waste of time. Everyone who follows college football knows what he's done.
Yes,
by the way, just like Bill Belichick, I don't think Belichick is the same coach he was. Now, is that because of Brady or is that because of Belichick? But his career is not going to end well. But that does not mean that on the day he retires, it's going to say Bill Belichick, who won 8 Super Bowls and considered among the greatest coaches of all time.
And that's good. And I got one more thing to say about AC from Bangladesh, okay? Because he said some things about me, okay? The thing of it is he needs to look who John Wick is, because I can become John Wick on him. How do you think about that?
Well, that sounds interesting. Hey, thank you for the call. Wow, that's crazy. Jay is up next in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Hey, good afternoon.
We've missed you since those couple of weeks you were off, man. It's like almost like I'm a junkie needing a fix. I needed my fine bomb fixed.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, I felt the same way. I'm not going to do that again. I mean, we took a break, and there was a reason it went longer than normal. But even Nashville, I mean, I was probably more excited about today's show than I was yesterday's, because this is what we do. This is our element. It's so difficult to have a relaxed rapport with callers while you're in the middle of an amphitheater.
Paul, there were all kind of rumors. I'm on this Facebook page. It says it's the fine bomb, whatever. There were people on there saying that that you were involved with the ESPN cuts, and you were down in the Caribbean somewhere. There was all kind of rumors.
Well, the truth is, I never left town. I was not in the Caribbean. Yeah, and listen, I mean, I try to be real. I mean, the ESPN story came out, I think, two weeks ago or three weeks ago. And I appreciate all the warm wishes from people. We're subjects. We work for a big company, and we feel very proud that we have this show, and we're able to do what we do. But the business side of every industry, especially the media industry, is under great challenge at the moment.
Well, I want to tell you the media days, the interviews were awesome. I mean, you do a damn good job of interviewing. You know where to touch on and what lines to cross and which ones not to cross. You did a heck of a job.
I'm glad you said that, because during the Jimbo Fisher interview, I almost just sounded like a caller, and said, "Now come on, coach. I mean, let's get to the heart of the matter." But you have to be respectful. This is not like ESPN sent me out to Texas and said, I want you to spend some time with Jimbo Fisher about his future. I mean, this is a coach coming to media days to talk about his program. And I thought we came very close to the hot button issues without shattering that invisible line. Thank you for the call. We head to the break. We have a lot to do in the final hour and 15 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
By the way, bad news. I hate to break this on a Friday afternoon, but one of our callers alerted us, Randy, earlier off the air that he has finished with the show.
Really?
He is not ever calling again. Would anyone like to guess who that is?
Did they promise?
He didn't promise, no. It was more of a threat. I think he's looking for NIL money.
Oh,
let's check in with Vance in Georgia. Hey, Vance.
Hey, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
You know, you made a really key statement that is, it's actually so simple, but it's so incredibly true, is how short people's memories are. I wonder if I haven't heard anyone speak of all the penalties that Alabama concurred last season. What was it against Texas? 15?
Yeah, I mean, they did 15 or 17, I think, in two different games.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that maybe the games might have been a little different without that? And not to mention the huge penalty games they had did not even come close to the amount they had in totality. That will be the thing I'm looking for the most this year. Is what will our penalties look like? Because if it looks like that again, forget it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because that was really the issue. One of those games they won in spite of the penalties. Another one they lost. And
yeah, Texas, of all teams in the country, the last two meetings with Alabama, they could raise their hands with a darn good question. What if you didn't knock Colt McCoy out of the game and Quinn Ewert?
Yeah.
We don't know the end of the game. Quinn Ewert was passing Alabama to death.
He was. Yeah, I'll never forget it. We were, I don't know where we were, but we were going to the airport, and I called my wife, and she said, she said, what time's the Alabama game start? So that's a good question. I think they're down right now 20-10 or something. I can't remember whatever the score was. I mean, they were just getting killed.
God, it was going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
But anyway, you had a previous caller allude to the fact that Georgia seems to be getting all the big defensive interior linemen. I called you during last football season, and I proposed a question. It wasn't really a question. It was a statement because we all know the answer. But I'm like, where's Quinnen Williams? Where's Jonathan Allen? Where's Deron Payne? Where's A'shaun Robinson? They're not there anymore. And ever since that 2016 season lost to Ohio State, or 2015, 14, I guess, technically, something really changed in Alabama's scheme. Saban went nuts after that.
Well, here's what changed, Vance. I mean, the whole philosophy changed. You had Kiffin, Sark, you started getting all these great quarterbacks, but the dimensions of the team. One thing that this is all a preseason situation here, but I believe Georgia has 11 of the starting 22 on the all SEC offense and defense. 11 of 22 for one school. Alabama has 3.
Well, George, the first public statement that I heard Kirby Smart say when he got to the University of Georgia was, "We got a bunch of little guys." And ever since then, his recruiting has been big offensive linemen and big defensive linemen, and he has accomplished that. And these people don't grow on trees. They're not for everyone to have.
So my question to you, Vance, in a couple of seconds left, Georgia's second team, where would it finish in the SEC?
Defensively?
Well, no, I know where they'd finish defensively, but...
Yeah, I think Georgia, I'll believe watching them lose when I see it. I think they're that good.
Yeah, I mean for Georgia, holding on to these players will be the ultimate challenge. But that's something that comes with great success. Marcella joins us next from Vegas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.